question. Suppose that I would hand you a book of checks. You look at it, and you find that every check is signed by Elon Musk, or whoever you may think is a wealthy person. Every check is signed, and the instructions are, this is for you. Anytime in life you find yourself in need, just write a check. Well, God has given us a blank checkbook. What I'm referring to is the promises that he made to us. Things like, very common one, Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to those that love God. Or Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Or Matthew 23:12, it says, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, but he that humbleth himself will be lifted up. Now in Peter, he says, we're given many exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we may be partaker of the divine nature. It's by trusting in his promises. The things he said he will do helps us become Christ-like. So let me ask you, actually, before there's one thing I missed here. I wanted to ask you, if I would give you a blank checkbook like that, tell you, whenever you're in a tough spot in life, just write a check. What thoughts would go through your mind?
Is it going to bounce?
Is it going to bounce? Any other thoughts? What would you think? What would go through your mind?
How much money does that guy have?
Okay, but you kind of know who Elon Musk is, so... But, okay, fine. Any other suggestions? Stop and think about it realistically. What would you actually think? What would go through your mind? How would you feel if this actually happened to you?
Is it legitimate?
Excited.
Most people would try to think it's a scam, but, you know, that's big. Scams everything. But, you know, if it was somebody that you knew had backing, I was just like, really? This is amazing. Thank you. I don't deserve it.
Okay. So there's various ways that it can affect us, and some of you have been hitting on this one point I want to get to, but okay. So back to God's promises, what he has given us. When do you need a promise? You don't need it when life is going good. You need it when you're up against. Suppose you went home from church today and found that your house had burnt flat. That's when you need a promise like, all things work together for good. I'll never leave you. You don't need it when everything's going good. It's times like that when we have to make a choice. Are we going to cash God's check? Are we going to take the promise? Or the one I said about, he that humbleth himself will be exalted. Maybe you're in a meeting or whatever. Things aren't going your way. People are belittling your ideas. I mean, we can fight to maintain our reputation, or we can take the course of humility. Trust God that sometime he's going to work it out that we... If I am right, I will be exalted in due time. Okay, is it easy
to grab a hold of a promise when it seems impossible? Like, nothing. Okay, let's take that one, all things work together for good for the Christian. You come across that situation in life when it just seems nothing good can come out of this.
Is it easy to grab a hold of the promise then?
Some of you were kind of getting at the thing of faith in that illustration I gave you about the checkbook. Faith that it's real. If it happened in this life, I mean, if someone gave me a checkbook, you know, I'd immediately battle with, is this legitimate? Well, God's promises, it says in God's word that God cannot lie. So his promises are legitimate. But there's an element of faith. When you're up against and just catastrophe has hit, it takes an element of faith to, not saying that's going to make you feel good right then, but we need to make the choice to place faith in the fact that even though I don't understand, there's a reason for this, or whatever the situation might be, whatever promise might apply. We need to do more than just quote the promises, more than just have them on a plaque on the wall. When the time comes, we need to place our faith in it. We need to believe it. I'd like to read a couple passages. Luke 8, starting at verse 22. Luke 8, 22. Now it happened on a certain day that he got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side of the lake," and they launched out. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Where is your faith?" We need it when the storm of life hits. Is there a storm in your life right now? This is the time that you need the promise. This is the time to make the choice to exercise faith. Another verse in Ephesians 6:16, above all things, taking the shield of faith, wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And in 1 John 5:4-5, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Another passage to turn to is Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, and I want to read 2 verses, 8 and 9. Don't be surprised if the thing that you face doesn't make sense. God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." In James, maybe I'll turn to that and read that James chapter 1. James chapter 1, starting at verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. I have a suggestion for you. If you meet a person in life, or know of people in life, that there's just something about them that you admire. There's a depth to their faith. They just seem to be the type of Christian that's commendable. Ask them what trials they went through in life. They probably weren't just born with a great faith or a close walk with God. Chances are they went through something that got them there. 1 Peter, it says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, when it comes to trusting the promises of God, I'm not saying this as someone who has it all together. I've had my share of troubles. And just recently, I was troubled about something. And the picture that came to my mind is a little child in its father's arms who's squirming around. He's scared of the dog there. He's scared of what he sees over here. He's scared of that. And all restless, when the fact of the matter is the father's holding him and he has nothing to be afraid of. God has guided and kept me in the past. I can see his work in my life. I need to trust him for the future and be confident that he which hath begun a good work in me will continue it until the end. I like to close with a song. It's 939 in the purple book. I don't know what is in the black. Safe in the Arms of Jesus.
$6.36
in the black. Safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast, there by his love o'ershaded, sweetly my soul shall rest. Hark, 'tis the voice of
temptations, sin cannot harm me there.
Refuge, Jesus has died.